It's like I would just call it, like, we would just throw stuff in boxes.
Yeah. Mom came and did it right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's super mom.
So that's for you.
So where's your leeway? This song is for everybody. This starts with the word all. So I don't know. I'm seeing a couple smiles. It feels like some people are grateful and thankful to be out today. Be thankful and grateful to be out today. I don't know.
Thank you.
promise, yes and amen, you will do great things. God, you will do great things. O King of heaven, you conquer the grave, you free every captive and break every chain, O God.
Thank you. Center received a letter from them and kind of a summary of the year of their ministry. They've been serving for 35 years. It said in the letter that there have been some wins and some losses, but there are 14 babies, I believe it is, on this page that they have helped mothers to have those children and place them. And some of the mothers, I'm sure, kept them, but others were adopted perhaps. And we're thankful for that part. Your contributions through the baby bottle really make a difference. We average around $600. Did I say that right, Lisa? And the other two churches that meet in our building also help us support this. And we decided this year we could sell it a little bit with the picture of my grandson. What can I say? It is a good picture, and he takes a great picture. Wasn't in a good mood yesterday. We did get to talk to him some, but he was really pretty fussy. But what I wanted to say about their ministry also is that they really appreciate our input and our involvement with them. Just as an idea, $22 buys 10 pregnancy tests. $85 is a one-month supply of formula, diapers, and wipes. I hope they're able to get formula. All of you have seen the news that it's kind of scarce right now. $150 covers a month of parenting classes, and that would be for the whole group that's there, not just for one parent. $322 provides an ultrasound exam, and $1,200 covers mentoring her through her pregnancy in the early stages of parenthood. So there's some challenges for you. And Father's Day, we'll start to collect those and see the results. And so be aware of that as we move forward. This is a time of prayer, and that's why I was mentioning moving from Father's Day to, I mean, from Mother's Day to Father's Day, because also in here is Pentecost Sunday, June 5th. And so from now to Pentecost Sunday, we're emphasizing prayer. We are online Thursday night, and I sent out an email with the link for that. It's the same link throughout, but I'll send it each week. And it's from 7 o'clock, time of prayer. Don't feel like you have to come on and pray out loud if that's uncomfortable for you, but you can join in and be an auditory member, just listening and being part of that time with us. And that's that 500,000 prayer mobilization that we're talking about. Then we want to start praying for friends who need Christ. You have friends whose lives are broken, whose lives are difficult, whose lives don't have the grace of Christ and His help and His power. And so you want to start thinking and praying about specific people. And then we have four pregnancies this year that in two babies that have already been born and house tray today.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Did you say bye, Dad, as you went out the door? Yeah. And we're so thankful for him. And we're hoping you'll get to meet Sebastian soon. Next Sunday afternoon, I'll be dedicating a baby born in the Hyattsville congregation that meets here at 1 o'clock, and that's exciting and a privilege, and so we're glad for those opportunities. So pray for parents and pray for children that are being born. In preparation for prayer, there's this video, and I mentioned the 500,000 prayer prayer mobilization. The link also that I'll provide you gets you to the website where there's a lot of information, a prayer journal that you could use. I mentioned last Sunday, each day I get from the app a devotional for that day, and I just hit the button and listen to it as I'm doing preparations for the day. But it's a very valuable way to keep us in tune with prayer and in touch with God. This video talks about the process of prayer, and I think one of the things that we don't say to each other is that many times we pray, we don't sense anything. We don't really maybe sense the presence of God, or we don't really see answers, or we keep praying the same needs, and we don't find resolution. And so what do? How do you carry on? Now, this video is about a minute longer than what we usually show, and you have to read all the words. It doesn't talk to you. So gear up, get in, enjoy, and let's learn together, okay?
Thank you.
To hear it from us. What is it you're desperate for God to do? In the video we saw, it talks about the intermingling of our thoughts with His thoughts. What a beautiful way to put what prayer is. There's nothing we think or nothing we live that we should keep from Him or think He doesn't see it or understand it or that He doesn't care. He desires to share it with us. He desires to share with us the agonies, the disappointments, the broken hearts, the joys, the great memories, the temptations, the anger, the frustrations. He wants us to bring them to Him. If you could just breathe out that tension, that urgency, that hurt in your life, and breathe in His peace, and breathe in His power, breathe in His hope. That would be prayer today for you. Teach us, O God, to enjoy Your presence and to seek out those times of communion with You, conversation with You. Teach us to listen, O God, to hear what You would say in response to the needs and the heartache and the worry and the tension in our lives. Teach us to wait patiently on you, for we realize our times are not the same as your schedule and your time for our lives. Give us a hope and a security of our salvation and of your entire sanctification made holy in our lives. Give us the reality of walking in grace with one another, in peace and in care and in compassion, lifting one another's burdens, caring for one another, reaching out to share resources and to share hope. Lord, as we pray today, we want to pray for the Rockville Women's Center, their ministry to families, fathers, as well as mothers that perhaps are caught unexpectedly pregnant or perhaps are trying to decide what to do next. And we pray, oh God, that you would give them wisdom. We pray for the finances as well as the program and the staffing. And in this time when there's such a lot of conversation about abortion in our culture, we have a heart of compassion, oh God, to forgive and to love those involved and those who face very difficult decisions. May we be people of grace and kindness. May we be people who desire the will of God above all else. Thank you for the forgiveness and healing that comes from your Spirit and for the way in which we can turn to you. Help us to understand and to care. Father, as we pray, we thank you that we're joining literally 500,000 Nazarenes in USA and Canada that are lifting up prayers at this time for our denomination, our church, to see you're moving and to see the Spirit moving in our worship and to reach out and to touch our world and to be the people of God you've called us to be. I'm thrilled for the hope that in the Holy Spirit we could dream new dreams. We could see a new vision. We could capture a new initiative in our hearts and in our lives for bringing Christ to our world and bringing Christ into our culture. And living as people of hope and people of the resurrection power. Lord, I pray that each one of us would sense a part of this prayer and a part of what you want to do, that we would sense in our hearts you have a plan to engage us, to involve us, and to use us to make a difference where we live, where we work, where we play, where our friends are, in the circles of our networks of influence that can literally reach around the world. May we be careful to always lift up Christ and to give hope and to give grace. As you pray right now, what is the primary concern in your heart? What's the hurting issue in your life or your home or your work or your circle? Bring it to God. Put it in God's hands. Maybe you've been asking a question that you don't have an answer to. How long or how deep or how hard does this have to be? You could just ask that question of God and tell him you trust him with the answer. You trust him with his power. You trust him with hope. Thank you, Lord, that you hear every prayer, spoken and unspoken. Teach us to pray so that we are open and transparent with you and with others, so that we have a hope that nothing can shake and nothing can destroy. Teach us to be people of conversation with Christ on a regular basis, so that we can see more of heaven on earth. We can sense more of the joy of the Lord in people's lives. We can see healing and restoration, and we can see people saved, coming to Christ as their Lord and Savior. We lift these prayers to you today, Lord, in the name of our matchless Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. We're going to be looking together there in a moment or two. And As you know, I always try to start with three questions that I want to ask you. And these are questions to think about. They're rhetorical, which means you don't answer out loud. And I keep saying that because I don't want you to embarrass yourself and because I don't want to have to struggle with what you might say. If you were to respond out loud. So that's where we're at on this process. I'm facing something I've never faced before. And Miles just left. Wait a minute.
What do you
need? I need the next question. My screen is... Okay, there we go. Thank you, Alex. Who was your best friend in school? I have a friend that for many years has been a friend, and it's one of those relationships where sometimes I'm glad we've known each other this long, and sometimes I wish we hadn't. Do you have any of those friends? Yeah. The second question. My pad is either freezing or not responding, so I'm going to give it just a second. So, do you keep in touch? And then the next question with that is, when you do keep in touch, do you talk about Jesus? Do you talk about the Lord? Is that a part of that relationship? I shared with you before that one of my friends since the fifth grade, he and I talk two or three times a year. Sometimes we get to see each other just about once a year, I think it's been. And but his question to me always when we're alone is, how are you doing spiritually? Isn't that great? Aren't you glad somebody has the courage to ask me that question? Yeah. And, you know, it is always a challenging question. I know he's going to ask. And so in some ways, I think about my answer ahead of time. But also more than that, it's an accountability that I realize I want to live. It helps me realize I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be living the kind of life I can talk about with him and not be embarrassed or not have to hide things from him. And so that's part of that process. And I'm always thankful for that. Do you talk about Jesus with your friendships? And really, maybe the better question is, why not? Right? And what keeps you from that? Maybe your fear is, if I talk about Jesus, I'll lose the friendship. But I want to say to you, a friendship that would be lost that easily maybe is one that you want to replace. But more importantly, I want to say to you, I think almost anybody that is your friend that you tell them about Jesus will be glad to talk to you even if they aren't believers. And they'll want to ask you questions and they'll want to hear why it is you are talking about Jesus and what you have to say. So I want to encourage you in that. And then the third one is, can you take me there? Thank you. How does Jesus enter into the friendship? That is number three. I think I have my... So I want to talk to you today about a friendship without barriers. I want to talk to you about a relationship you can have that has no barriers. Wouldn't you love to have a friendship where you can be totally open, totally honest, and totally transparent? Nothing hidden, nothing secret. And what obviously that friendship is our life with the Holy Spirit. It's what we have in Christ. Because we have the Holy Spirit. We can tell him anything. And he wants us to tell him everything. When we tell him where we are, it helps us, number one, to understand and to understand what's going on in our lives a little bit better. But number two, it gives God the power to work in our lives in these areas. I confess that sometimes I have to tell him, this is going on and I don't like it in me. Help me with this area. Or this is going on and I don't understand it. Give me grace. Give me patience. Many times God's timing is not my timing, but what I need is God's presence to deal with the timing I don't like. Right? And I need that confidence. I need that reassurance. I need to come back into that. And so in prayer and in this relationship with God, we want an openness and a genuine concern seeking the best. We want openness, meaning we want to be able to tell him everything. Transparent. Let me help you with that, and it's a little secret that's widely known. He already knows. Isn't that amazing? So when we tell him, all we're doing is saying, I know that you know. I don't like it, I'm embarrassed by it maybe, or I wish it wasn't, or I'm trying to hide it, or I'm trying to deal with it, but you already know, Lord. It's a mess, or it's tough, or this isn't working, or I haven't done all I could do, or I need help. And God will help you at that point. Number two, it's genuine concern. It's really caring about your life and caring about what goes on in your life. You see, one day you will give an account to God. One day we will stand before him. And as my pastor, when we were in seminary, Marcia and I dating at those in those days, he would say, God has a huge computer and he'll just be able to read it all out anyway when you get to the judgment. And so you might as well tell him about it and get it cleared up now rather than hide it for later. That's my part I added on there that I say. And then seeking the best. Seeking God's best. Now, God's best isn't an ideal that you'll never get to. I'm talking about finding God's best right where you are. It means you're still going to have illness, perhaps. You're still going to have broken relationships or broken misunderstandings between yourself and others. You're still going to have struggles. You're still going to have faults and deficiencies in your life. But you're seeking God's best in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that time. If God were to suddenly give us a little, you know, rainbow of heaven around us, a little ray of heaven that always just stayed with us, and we just kind of moved through life like super saints, don't you think everybody would want to be a Christian? Yeah, but they'd look at that and they'd go, you know, that is so boring. Everything is solved. Everything is fixed. I mean, you think about the richest person you knew when you were growing up and their lives and how many times you resented them for having it, quote unquote, easy, right? Well, that's why one of the reasons God doesn't make our lives easy. He makes our lives real. And we live real lives. But we seek God's best in the midst of that situation. And so that's one of the things I want us to talk about this morning as we look at the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and how he wants to work. We're looking at John chapter 14. I want you to turn there with me. And I want to read John 14. And I want to read two different sections here. The first part is right at the beginning. Let me just read that and the first four verses, and then we'll jump down to verse 15. Now, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's got them together, and this is the night when he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be put on trial after this, and he's going to die, and he's wanting to comfort them. He's wanting to express to them, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're not going to understand. You're not going to like what's about to happen. You're going to be scared to death. You're going to hide. You're going to run, but it's going to be okay. Isn't that, have you ever been there? You're going to run. You're going to hide from God. You're going to look for protection. So he says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If this were not true, would I have told you that I'm going there? Would I have told you that I would prepare a place for you there? And if I go and do that, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me. Then you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And of course, you know that Thomas says, we don't know the place. And Jesus answers in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that's the promise. That's what Jesus is promising here. So jump down to 15. If you love me, obey my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another friend to help you and to be with you forever. That friend is the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him. That's because the world does not see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you like children who don't have parents. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father. You will know that you are in me and I am in you. Anyone who has my commands and obeys them loves me. My Father will love the one who loves me. I too will love them, and I will show myself to them. Let not your heart be troubled. Doesn't that just speak to you of the fact that you control what goes on in your heart? Your heart doesn't control you, you control it. Meaning your emotions, your thoughts, your reactions, your gut reactions, your reflexes, all of that you have dominion over. You can choose peace in the midst of a horrible storm. You can choose to hold it together when everyone else is falling apart. You can choose the peace of the Lord to be your peace, to be what you have when everything is troubling. When you have more questions than you have answers, and when the questions you have are questions you hate asking because somehow they imply you don't have faith or you're not trusting, or you think maybe if I ask that question, it'll sound like I'm not a believer. And what God is saying to you is don't let your heart be troubled. Learn to settle your heart. We've been talking about stress in a small group downstairs, and as we're talking about stress, I keep thinking about the fact that we can get so caught up in trying to run everything ourselves. And I'm talking about bad stress now, not good stress, but so caught up in trying to run everything ourselves that we just push God out of the way so that we run everything. And then we find ourselves frustrated and lonely and broken instead of whole and together and in fellowship. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in the Father, trust in me also. And I like the fact that he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I preach this, and I often do at funerals, I talk about home not being an address, not being architecture, not even being smells and aromas and things Mom did, as much as it is the sense of belonging. That home is a sense of, I fit here. This is my place. But you may never have had that. You may desire that. You may have always been frustrated with the home you had or with the past that way. But you understand what I'm saying, because I think God creates in each one of us a desire to be at home. And what Jesus is saying is you can be at home with the Father. You can be at home in Christ. Being at home in Christ is being led by the Holy Spirit, letting him guide you, letting him show you the way. And so Jesus talks to us about this friendship with Jesus and this reality of the Holy Spirit guiding us. We often talk about we say Jesus is with us and we're to follow Jesus. And that's correct, except it's not correct. It's correct in the sense that Jesus said, I will be with you, but it's the Holy Spirit now who's showing us Jesus, who's guiding us. Jesus has left the body behind and gone in, or had a glorified body and gone into heaven, I should say, and now we have the Holy Spirit, and it is Jesus who's with us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says here, as I read it to you, and in the New International Reader's Version that I read, it talks about another friend. But in the old King James, you'll remember it says paraclete, which is just a translation of the Greek. And then many translations say advocate. Give you an advocate. This is a word that has a lot of meanings, and they're rich meanings. They're important meanings, so we need to look at it. It's the meaning of God coming alongside us. And Jesus says another. And what is another? That means one like me. So it's the Holy Spirit is just like me. I think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is the personality of Jesus coming to us in the Holy Spirit. So we want to understand Jesus, we need to understand the Holy Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit as Scripture talks about. Let me illustrate it this way. There's a classic French film, and Jean de Florette is a townsperson living in a small village in Provence in France. And they conspire. They don't like this guy, and so they conspire when he buys the land. There's a beautiful spring there that provides fresh water. And so they put cement over the spring and then dirt over that. So when he buys his property, he doesn't get the water. He doesn't get the spring. And what the illustration, of course, is that we as Christians have the Holy Spirit. But we either ignore him or we leave him or we allow life to cloud up and distort or distract us from all that he wants to give us and all that he wants to be in our lives. Now, one of the reasons we do that is because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin. He's the one that shows us when we're wrong, when we're out of line. But he does that because he loves us. Christ does that to bring us home. He's not doing it to condemn us. He's not even doing it to punish us. He's doing it because when we are out of line, we're out of favor with God. We are out of favor with fellow human beings, and we don't even like ourselves. I might just have to preach a whole series on learning to like yourself at some point. I've had all kinds of interesting issues today with my pad, and so I'm having just a fun time. Jesus here says the world can't accept the Spirit of truth. That's because the world doesn't see him or know him. So what I'm talking about is entering into a part of what the Holy Spirit has for us that is led by the Spirit, led by God, where we have to enter in. And we have to receive both the correction and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes what happens is, and often what's happened before, is that people reject the Holy Spirit, reject God's prompting, reject the conscience that he puts in us, and in doing so, lose touch. They get out of range, is how I put it. I don't know if you... we've experienced that with our cell phones lately, haven't we? And, or maybe you're listening to a radio station here and you head to Baltimore, and by the time you get to Baltimore, you can't listen to the DC station anymore. Well, that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. We get away from him and we tune out and we disregard what the Holy Spirit's saying. And what we've got to do is come back to the Word, come back to Jesus, and allow Jesus to speak to us and allow Jesus to guide us. And that's the power. That's what I'm talking about in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says here that love keeps the commands. Love keeps God's commands. Because if you love me, you will obey me, Jesus says. And we learn this with our children. If we love our children, we expect them to obey us. We expect them to do what's right. We teach them. And by obedience, they show love. And when they're disobedient, we get upset. I've used this phrase many times. I learned it from my wife. She did it with our children. I love you too much to let you behave this way. And when we disobey God, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, I love you too much to let you go so far astray. I love you too much to let you do that because it destroys you and damages you. And we would learn and we would grow if we would obey and keep those commands and keep the way God wants us to walk. And then he says, I will not leave you like children who don't have parents. I will come to you. And that's the promise of Jesus. He's saying to the disciples, I'm going to be crucified. I will be dead 3 days in the grave. I will come back and you'll see me. You're going to be totally upset and broken by the crucifixion and by the death that you don't expect. But I will be back. And when I come back, you will see me and you will know me. And Jesus is also saying to you and to me as disciples, we don't see him here physically, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. But he's coming back one day. Amen? My parents would always talk about the eastern sky. He's going to come in the eastern sky. With the internet and with the availability of everything instantly, we can all understand why Scripture says, we'll all see it and we'll all know it in a moment of time. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's the new command. That's the new law. We don't live by old law. We live by new law, which is a law of agape, that we are to agape one another. We're to show the best care and respect and honor to one another. We're to give to one another this will, this decision to do what is best, to be patient, kind, gentle, long-suffering, against which there is no law. And in doing that, we will find the peace of the Lord. One of the things that I've been saying a lot lately is that when we show agape like that, we will pay a price. Because others don't accept it, or they will take advantage of it. Others won't see it, and we'll feel like, I'm always getting out of the way so you can have your way. And that's frustrating, and that feels like I'm giving up so much. But when we do that, there comes a point when it's kind of like a balance point where all of a sudden it starts to return to us. And we see the blessing, and we understand the benefit, and we realize we've done what honors God. I don't have answers for people who suffer all their lives. It seems like there's never a return or a blessing that should come. There's so many unjust and unfair situations that we live in. But what I want to say is that the Holy Spirit is able to make up in our hearts the peace and the joy that the world can't give. But what I mean by that is we're obeying God and we know we're right with God, and so we're at peace, even though the demands or the pressures or the heartaches or the breaks or the bad economy or the difficult life situations carry on. And when we live that way, others will know that we are His disciples by the way we love one another. Now Jesus here tells us that the Holy Spirit then gives us the power or gives us the ability to realize that Jesus, as He's saying here in verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you will know that you were in me and I am in you. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. That's what it's about. My life hidden in Christ. So I don't have to demand my rights, and I don't have to demand justice, and I don't have to demand everything go my way. I've seen it so many times, it becomes an old story. That people live unjust, unfair lives. Sometimes it's physical. My father lived a whole life of physical affliction. He had a kidney removed when he was a young man. He spent 18 months in what's called a striker frame. It's a frame, because he had TB in his spine, it's a frame where they hold your top and your bottom together. You're a sandwich, and the only way you move is when the nurses move you in that frame. He would tell me that sometimes they'd take him out and let him be in the sun to warm up a little bit. Most of the time, for 18 months, he was inside. He had polio when he was a young man. His mother knew what to do, and because she put hot and cold mustard compresses. Now, I'm not here to tell you that's great science or that'll save you from polio, but it saved him. He was not paralyzed. He introduced me to a woman who was in his class in school, and she was in a wheelchair and had been from the same polio that my dad got at that time. When he was on the mission field with one kidney, he got a kidney stone in the other one. Okay. My mother prayed all night. My dad passed the stone the next day. Never had a kidney problem again.
Amen.
Thank God. But you say, why, when you give your life away from family, away from friends, away from the culture you knew, you have to suffer so much physically? No explanation, no easy answers, not anything that makes it make sense all of a sudden. It just happens. But the presence of the Holy Spirit can make even those moments meaningful and full of His grace and full of the love of God in that time. You face a tough one?
Yeah.
Probably if we shared this morning openly and honestly and really poured out our hearts, we'd all have stories and situations where we aren't treated fairly, or where life has been tougher than it should have been, or where we've lost what we should not have lost, and we would have an awareness of those issues. We take them to God. And the Holy Spirit ministers to our spirits, and He helps us bear up. He helps us have victory. He helps us love the unlovable and live in power because of that. By that love, others will know that we follow Jesus. We allow Him to be the Spirit that guides us. I don't know how you get close to the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you do to experience His power in your life. For me, often it's music. I love good Christian music. I enjoy listening to it. And it ministers to me. I have to find those times of nourishment. I have to find those times that my soul is restored and renewed. Sometimes it's extended time of prayer. Sometimes through scripture reading and letting God speak in the way that He wants to through His word for today and apply it to today's life. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit guiding us. We're in a tradition in the Church of the Nazarene where experience means so much. And we don't discount your experience. And we don't ignore your experience. We believe you can have an experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We believe that when you seek Him with all your heart, He will fill you with His Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit in that way, it's not through a demonstration of some outward sign necessarily. It's through the cleansing of your heart so that you know that you're right with God, number one. Number two, you know you have a love that nothing can take away. For me, it was an experience of a very difficult relationship where it was very unfair and unjust. Literally, a guy who was a pathological liar. He would lie about me and about things that happened and get away with it, and it seemed like, well, he didn't get away with a whole lot because he was more disciplined than anybody else in the boarding school. Was more trouble than anyone had ever been. And he had to be my roommate. Stuff of mine would be stolen and then show up later. And he'd say, oh no, I've always had this. You know, just lie to my face and stuff. And I said, you know, I don't love him. I don't have any love. The Bible says I'm to love my enemy. Give me love. It wasn't anything I did other than receive from God the love that only He can give. But it healed me. And it made a difference in the relationship. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about here. This friendship, this communion, this presence of Jesus with us, that others would know we are His disciples by how we love one another. Do you need that? Do you long for that? Is that what's missing in your life today? Millions and millions of people, knowing they're saved, knowing their sins are forgiven, have realized they also need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. They need to invite Him in and allow Him to have a full control. They need His love that only He can give. They need the power that only God has. And so they come again and ask God to fill them with His Spirit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and prepare for prayer time together. But I want to just give you an opportunity this morning to ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse you, to make you whole, to cleanse out that resentment or hatred or that lack of faith or trust that keeps you from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now just to say to the Lord, Lord, come in fullness in my life. be Lord of my life. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven, but I need the power, I need the Spirit to be in control of my life. I need to surrender to you today and let you fill me with love for the unlovable situations in my life. I need grace and power for the moments and the hours and the years that are so difficult. Because I want to live in victory and not